Last Sunday morning, we brought a message concerning Mary and how that she had received the word from the Lord about Jesus Christ and how He was going to come into the world. This morning, though, we want to read about how they came to Bethlehem. The Bible said in verse number 1, Luke 2, verse number 1, "It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn." We've entitled this message, "A Manger Misconception." A manger, this is not a major misconception. Brother, it's a manger misconception. Would you think about that as we preach? Let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer and ask God's blessings upon us in this day. Our Father, I pray, Lord, that you might help me today to deliver your word your way, that you would be glorified and honored, and Lord, that we might draw close unto you, we might really study your word to learn what it says. In order that we wouldn't just casually read it. But rather, Lord, that it might be a part of our existence. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you might help us to understand exactly what you say to us in your word. That it might be real clear to us. And Lord, I pray that you might give me courage today to speak what I need to say. That your will might be done. That your name be honored and your name might be glorified. Just forgive us now. Keep us close to you today. Of course, in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Now, you probably recognize this scene that I'm going to lay before you. This happened in Bethlehem. This is a scene. This is not exactly true, but it is a scene. Bethlehem, about 2,000 years ago, Joseph and Mary arrive at the sleepy town in the middle of the night. Mary, already in labor, remains on the donkey while Joseph frantically searches for a room at the local inn. Desperate, he begs one reluctant innkeeper for any place at all to have this baby. The innkeeper finally relents and makes room for them in a tumble-down stable with the cows. Does that sound familiar? It does to me. There's just one problem. Well, only one. This is not what the Bible states. This is not what the Bible states. The true history of what the Bible really states about the birth of Jesus Christ has been choked out by myth. Stories, plays, and movies have dramatized the effect for the sake of entertainment. But the real birth account is different. Just read again what Luke plainly tells us. Luke chapter 2 and verse number 1. Just read it very plainly. Read it very carefully and study it out. The Bible said, "It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Verse number 5. To be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. See, verse 5 and verse 6 are totally different. They're totally different. Verse number 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. What's different about what we have heard and what permeates our society and what the Bible really says? Listen, there is no urgency of Joseph. There is none. The fact is this. Joseph, I believe you really love Mary. I believe that. Why do I believe that? It's apparent to me that Joseph knew Mary, not in any kind of sexual way, but Joseph knew Mary before Jesus Christ was ever born. And Joseph had on his mind to really do what God wanted him to do. That's the only reason that he took this woman to be his wife. Because she was expecting Joseph before they married. Plain. Mary, on the other hand, was also a fine example of a Christian woman. There was none to beat her at all. She had great favor with God. When God gave her this promise, the ability that she could have the promised seed. It was a great thing. Joseph, because he loved Mary so much, he would not, just like you would not, take your wife, put her on a donkey and have her move for about 60 or 70 miles. Would you try that? I'll tell you what. Any man that loves his wife would not do that. Any man that loves his wife would want her in the best possible place. By the way, there were other people also, the Bible says, in verse number 3, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. Now, when this decree went out that they might be taxed, there was a lot of people that went to be taxed. But you think about it. Some people were infirm and could not go. There's no doubt about that. Because in our society, there's always somebody that is ill. There's always somebody that can't do the things that they need to do. That's just an evident fact. That's why we have hospitals for people today to get well. I mean, that's what they're for, to find out what's going on with them. What's all about. So there were people in that day that could not travel. That's all I'm saying here. There's people in that day that could not make the trip. So I don't think that Joseph loaded Mary onto a donkey and took her walk off 60 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. That's a good little ways. When it was time for the baby to be born. I don't think that. I personally think that verse number 6 and verse number 5 and verse number 6, that these verses tell us that although Mary was great with child, it was not the time to be delivered. You think about it. You would not do that today. And that day were no different than you are. They loved each other. A husband loved his wife. He would do everything he could to make the way easy for her. And that's where it is. Next. Notice this. And this is something that we don't even think about. But look in verse number 5. The Bible uses this term, espoused wife. What is an espoused wife? What is that? Do you have an espoused wife? Anybody here engaged? I don't think so. I don't think so. Not me. But Joseph, in those days, what they did was that during what we would call an engagement period today, those people, they took this person to be their husband or their wife, and they were engagement to them was a very serious thing. It was like a marriage without any kind of sexual things at all. All right? That's what it was like. And so, in this place, Mary and Joseph were not married when they made this trip. That's what the Bible says. The reason Mary went along, the Bible said in verse number 4, verse number 5, that Joseph went along all right because he was of the house and lineage of David, and verse number 5, to be taxed with Mary as his spouse's wife. And so they were both commanded to go along on this trip. But they made the trip in plenty of time that they didn't have to worry about the child being born on the way. Alright? They made it plenty of time. What does it mean here when it says that she is espoused? We touch on that again. That means that she was promised in marriage. Promised in marriage, but they were not yet married. That's what that means. Joseph and Mary were not married when they made this trip. But they will be married. They were both consenting to marriage. I personally think that both Joseph and Mary knew that it was a promised child. That's what I personally believe. Okay? But it also means that Mary was great with child. It means it's apparent from anybody looking that she is expecting a child. It did not mean that she was about ready to be delivered any second. Because as we've already said, I tell you what, any dad, any wife knows that in the last few days, the last few weeks before a delivery,
you're told, don't. If you're going to travel, you need to get my permission. All right? I mean, you know it's so. That's the way it is.
So, especially this, they did not have air conditioning in those days. They did not have a car to ride in. They had an animal to walk to ride on. Have you ever rode on a horse 60 miles? You ever done that? I never have. I tell you what, I've rode on a horse before. I've rode on an old mare, bareback. I never did have a saddle. Never did. But not 60 miles. I didn't ride on that at all. I did ride one time on a horse. And it got to galloping. But I didn't have any kind of saddle or nothing. And I was told, I don't know this, that you could see the light between me and that horse. You know, I was bouncing pretty good. But I know that they weren't doing that. I know they weren't. They were going slow. But I know this, that traveling for 60 miles, they'd have to take some rest breaks. How long would it take you to get there? I mean, this tells us again. I mean, if you're going to walk 60 miles, how long would it take you to walk 60 miles? It's just walking. If you're expecting, how long would it take you to walk 60 miles? A different ball game. Especially if you're great with child. I mean, it takes some time. You've got to rest. And that's what it is. All right, so it's a different thing altogether. So she was great with child, and the time of taxing was upon her. She had to be paid the tax too. In verse number 6, the Bible says this, "And so it was that while they were there," all right, "while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered." And there it is. The Bible very plainly here says that they were already there. And I think there are a few days, at least a few days, before the baby was born. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 7. "And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." The word "inn" doesn't mean what we think it means. The word "inn" actually means a guest room. Let me read this to you. All right, that's what it means. In the book of Luke 22, in the same book, Luke 22, and verse number 11, the Bible says this. Luke 22 and verse number 11. Now, verse number 11 is the verse we want to get to. But notice what the context is. In Luke 22, in verse number 7, "Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And they sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Wherewith thou, that we may prepare? And he said unto them, Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entered in. And ye shall say unto the goodman of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber that I may eat the Passover with my disciples. And he shall show you a large upper room furnished there made ready." I know you've read that passage before. Do you see the word "in" there? In verse number 11, the word translated in Luke 2 is the word "guest chamber." If you have your the Bible application on your phone with a little Strong's thing in there, you can check it out right there. You can check it out and see. What I'm telling you is absolutely the truth. Okay? Why does the Bible, however, give us the word "in" when it's really a guest chamber? And in those days, it was different than it is today. Actually, the word means a guest room. There was no guest room for them. You would think that much confusion could be avoided if they'd use the word "guest chamber" instead of "in," wouldn't you? But first of all, remember this, that when God gave us the Bible, He wrote it in Greek, and He wrote it to people who would clearly understand exactly what an inn was. Understand that that's so. That was 2,000 years ago. But today, that has all changed. Next, God knew beforehand that some people would prefer His pure word and that the usages of words would change. He knew that. You would think that they'd just find room in a hotel. You think that they'd find room in a motel. After all, they had a donkey, I guess. But why in the world did God do all of this? Why did God cause all this confusion? It's because of this. It's because that it's all part of His plan. In letting people that want to be fooled, be fooled. That's why. For those that really want to know the truth of the Word of God, God has given to you a Bible. And today, you can carry your Bible in your phone. I mean, it's amazing. You can have in your phone, in that little device, a Bible that I carry around like this. I have a Bible on my computer. I've also got one on my phone. You can look up immediately the definitions of words. It's all available to you. You can look it up. I pray God you will look it up. That you will study it. That you will learn it. Because God wants you to know it. It's one thing for me to know it. It's one thing for me to declare it to you. But it's something else again if you know it. That's what the Bible wants. That's what God wants you to learn. It's for you to learn it. And stay with it. You might ask, if this is a guest chamber, there was no room for them in the inn, there was no room for them in the guest chamber, this puts an entirely different light on the whole thing. And you're responsible before God to know the difference. You know, the couple
Joseph and Mary did not face closed doors. I don't think, personally, that they arrived in Bethlehem in the middle of the night. I don't think they did. I think they got there in plenty of time because Mary was expecting and Joseph was very well aware of that. Anybody that was there could see it. By the way, they were not married. They were espoused together. But look at something else. Look in the book of... Now, put this together. In the book of Luke is when Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. But in the book of Matthew, chapter 2, we find here that this is a time when the shepherds came. And notice the difference. I know today that we're taught. It's put in place. It's all over the world that the shepherds came at the same time that the wise men came. But they didn't. They did not come at the same time. They came at a different time. Now, let's show you this. You got your two places. One's in the book of Luke. The other is in the book of Matthew. They're both chapter number 2. You got that both centered, all right? Now, look in chapter number 2 of Luke, verse number 8. The Bible said here in this place, there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, watching, keeping watch over the flock by night. This is the shepherds. And lo, an angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of glad joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Jesus, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. So, in other words, if you want to know who the child is, you can find out who it is, but you've got to do something. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Alright? Where did Mary put the child? Luke 2 and verse number 7. The Bible says that she wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. Alright? That's exactly what the angel said. You shall find him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Verse number 13. Luke 2, 13. And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, on the earth peace, goodwill toward men. It came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us go now even unto Bethlehem. When were they leaving? When were the shepherds leaving? The Bible says, Now, let us go now even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste. They came the very night that Jesus Christ was born. Alright? And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. So they found him exactly in the same place. Right? And when they had seen it, what did they do? They made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds.
But Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in their heart, in her heart. And the shepherds returned and glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. All right? Now, let's go back and read in the book of Matthew chapter number 2 about the wise men when they came. And this is a totally different story. Why? Matthew chapter 2 occurs later than Luke chapter 2. I'll tell you right now that Luke chapter 2 occurs about 2 years after Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2 occurs about 2 years later. All right? But I'll show that to you. In verse number 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, that's where he was. He was born there. Behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Now, these wise men came from where? From the east to Jerusalem. Why? They had seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled in all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. Why is all this? Why is all this? You think about it. That the shepherds were out in the field and they didn't see the star. By the way, this star is a special star that God has arranged. He wants these wise men to see that star. But the shepherd didn't see it. I know today in plays, they all happen at the same time. But it doesn't happen at the same time. Verse number 6. Oh, verse number 5. They said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus is written by the prophet. So they find that out. In verse number 6, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, art not the least among the princes of Judea, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule thy people Israel. Verse number 7. Then Herod, this all happened over a period of time here. Then Herod, when he privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him. Anything wrong so far? I'll tell you what. This is not what the shepherds saw. It happened sometime later. You can see the time period involved in here. Verse number 9. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star, which is on the east, went before them. So the star evidently disappeared, but it came back. Because the purpose of all this is that Christ wants the wise men to ask. He wants Herod to understand this. Why? Because he's got a reason. God has a reason for this. He wants to put something indelibly on the people's mind. Verse number 10. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding joy. Look at verse 11. When they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. All right? Notice that they came into the house. They saw the young child. They saw Jesus Christ. He was there. They saw him. But notice about these gifts that they gave. In verse number 11, the Bible says that the wise men gave gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Okay? If you would, Look back in Luke 2 and verse number 21. Luke 2, 21. And this proves that the timing of the shepherds coming and the wise men coming is absolutely different. I'm basing all of this on a couple things. The fact that Mary and Joseph are honest before God. And that if they had any gold, if they had any frankincense, if they had any myrrh, they would have gladly given it to the Lord. But look in Luke 2 and verse number 21. And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. That's when they named Jesus Christ. In verse number 22, and when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. How many days was it that Mary needed to be purified? Amen. Look with me. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 12, and you'll find this passage here. Leviticus, chapter number 12, this is according to the law. And what Jesus Christ did, He fulfilled all of the commands of the law. In Leviticus 12, it's only eight verses in this chapter. So it don't take you long to read that. But it's really good. In Leviticus 12, verse number 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if a woman have conceived seed and born a man child, then she shall be unclean 7 days, according to the time, to the days of the separation, for her infirmity shall she be unclean. And the 8th day, the flesh of his foreskin shall be circumcised. So what day was it that they circumcised Jesus Christ? The Bible said in verse 21 of Luke 2, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child. So it was accomplished on the 8th day, just like the law said. But notice the next verse. In Leviticus 12, and verse number 4, the Bible said here in this place, and she shall then continue in the blood of her purifying 33 days. That's 33 days. She shall touch no hallowed thing, nor come into the sanctuary until the days of her purifying be fulfilled. Now, the Bible talks about in verse 5 that she has a girl. Keep your place in Leviticus 12. And go back with me in the book of Luke, chapter number 2. The Bible said in verse number 22, and when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. How many days was that? It was after she was purified. That was after 33 days. That's what the Bible said. Now notice what they did in verse number 23. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And that's the way it is. In verse number 24. And to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. I'm going to ask you a question. What kind of sacrifice did they offer? What kind of sacrifice did they offer? They offered a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Where did they get that from? Look at verse number 8 of Leviticus chapter number 12. Here it is. Here it is. This is what they offered. I say to you, based upon the Scriptures,
that the wise men and the shepherds were not at the place at the same time. I know today that in plays it's put out there that that's the way it is, but that is not the way that it is. It's not the way according to what the Bible says. Somebody would say, how long did you study this to understand this? I tell you what. I studied this for years and years. You know why? I studied because there is so much untruth about the birth of Jesus Christ that fills this world. And it confuses me. It does. It confuses me. Here's the thing. That I want to be right before God. I want to be as right as I can possibly be. And to understand some of this and the way God wants us to get it is vitally important. Look at verse number 8 of Leviticus 12, verse number 8. And if she be not able to bring a lamb, then she shall bring turtle doves, or two young pigeons, the one for a burnt offering, the other for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for her, and she shall be clean. Wow. She didn't bring a gift of gold, a myrrh, or frankincense. You know why? Because it hadn't been given. It hadn't been given at all. Look in the book of Luke, Matthew 2. Matthew chapter number 2, verse 16. These children that Herod killed, this ought to show us that it took a while for all of this to come down to Herod, that somehow promised child who was said to be the king of the nation of Israel has escaped. Because the wise men, when they found out, in verse number 12, the Bible said they were warned of, and I'm reading in Matthew 2, verse 12, and being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country and to another way. Look at verse 16. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked with the wise men, when he understood, it took a while for this to happen. When Herod understood that the wise men had not come back, he was exceeding wroth and set forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coasts thereof from 2 years old and under according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. That tells us something. That he had asked the wise men. The Bible says in verse 16 that that 2 years ago he asked and he killed all the children in that area. That's a terrible, terrible thing that he did. Notice something else. In Luke chapter number 2, the Bible here talks about two people who rejoiced very great. The Bible here in verse number 25, Luke 2:25, after they gave these sacrifices, I firmly believe that if Joseph had had the sacrifices of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, he would have given those, willing to give them. But he didn't have them. He was poor. And so he gave what he had. A pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. But notice, the gifts have nothing at all to do with what happened next. In Luke 2 and verse number 25, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents
brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him according to the custom of the law. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, listen, this man, Simeon, when he saw Jesus Christ, he didn't pay any attention to the offering. That's vitally important. Because it doesn't make any difference how much offering anybody gives. If they give an offering or not, it doesn't make any difference. What really counts is whether they are of God or not. If Joseph had come in with gold, frankincense, and myrrh, you say, sure, they would notice that. Listen, some people will notice that. Some people will notice that. But God's people won't. God's people pay more attention. God's people pay more attention to what is in a man's heart than what he has on his hands. That's the truth. Simeon, he rejoiced in God. He took him up in his arms and blessed God. He didn't even look at the offering they gave. Think about that. But notice, in verse number 36, there was another woman. There's another person. She was a woman. There was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow about 84 years old, who departed not from the temple of God with fastings and prayer day and night. And she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Israel. This is a great thing. Understand the difference. Listen, I know that there's a lot of flack out there. You know why that is? You know why there's a lot of talk about all this stuff? It's because the devil wants to confuse you in your mind. I challenge you, though. I just challenge you. Take your Bible and just read the Bible and write it about the Bible. And you'll see. It's just real clear to me. It is. And I pray that it will be to you. I see by the clock on the wall, it's about time to quit, so we're going to quit. You know, it is so vitally important. And it's important because we only live a little while on this world. I mean, we only live here. We're just here on this world a little while. How long are you in eternity? It never ends. I'm going to heaven when I die. If you're lost, you're going to hell. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, that's it. If you're lost, you're going to hell when you die. See, I don't want to hear that. Don't listen. I wish I could tell you something else. I wish I could tell you that you're all going to be saved. I wish I could tell you that. It's not so. Hell is real. I mean, there's people going to hell. But you know, it's up to each individual person to study the Word of God for themselves. Think about it. You're going to be held accountable to God for everything you ever do. You know, I cannot emphasize it enough. You can say, I've got a lot of years ahead of me. That's good. I'm glad you got a lot of years ahead of you. Listen, but one of the days, those years will come to an end, and then you're going to see the Lord face to face, or the devil face to face. There it is. I mean, hell is real, death is real, life is real, and the end of life is also real. I mean, it comes. It's there. So you need to be right before God. And you need, in your life, you need to do what God wants you to do, period. See, people think I'm funny. So what? If God don't think you're funny, that makes all the difference in the world. Who are you going to be with for eternity anyway? Think about it. You'd be right before God. That's really the truth. Study it out. Learn for yourself. I pray that God will bless you. I know that the message is incomplete. You know, there's five pages on this. I got through two of them. Okay? So, I don't know if we're going to do that again. I don't know. We'll see what the Lord wants. I didn't intend to preach this one. I really didn't intend to preach this one. After the last thing, I didn't intend to go back into that. But there it is. So I want to do what God wants me to do. Why? It's because I don't have very much time left. I want to be right before God. All right. If you're lost, we pray for you that the Lord would bless you with salvation, that you might see Jesus. He's the only one who can wash away your sin. Okay, let's stand if you would. Sing, please, Brother Brian. If you come, please, and pray.